Fred, thank you for filling in this morning. Harold and his wife and son are away on vacation. They'll be back into the week. Pray for them as they travel later this week. Pray for us as we go to preteen center kid camp. Lord, I don't know what I sign myself on for sometimes. But anyway, we'll have a good time. So far in our series, we've looked at three activities that when we're in Christ, we're going to do. Not we do to be in Christ, but we do because we are in Christ. We're going to pray. We're going to talk to the Father. We're going to talk to God. We're going to give, not only financially, but we're going to give of our lives. We're going to say, here I am. I want to be used. And then we're going to talked about serving. You're going to find a place, and you're going to get involved. Remembering you can't do it all, but you get to do something. Now remember, all of those areas that you don't do to become in Christ, they are part of who we are in Christ. Now today I want to talk to you about words. Words. You remember the old saying? I'm old enough to remember this one. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you know that's a lie? I'd almost rather somebody hit me with a stick or a stone sometimes than some of the words that have been thrown at my way in life. Words hurt sometimes, don't they? Words are very powerful. So the truth is, words have power, and they can either be positive or negative and affect us. And within the framework of this series, I want us to talk about four things that a real child of God is going to do in relation to their speech patterns and the words we use and the attitudes those reflect in our lives. Because each of those that we're going to look at are based on the actions and word of Jesus as he's telling a story about sheep. Which is kind of an interesting little story. I was preparing for today, and I did some research on words and attitudes and the way things, sometimes as we age, how things change. And I picked up a few of them that I kind of like. You may have heard these before. It's nothing new. A seven-year-old said this: you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Why would you want to, was my thought. 13-year-old, you know, when I get my room exactly like I want it, then mom comes in and makes me clean it up. 24-year-old, silent company is often more healing than words of advice. Just being there. 39-year-old said this: if someone says something unkind about me, I just have to live so that nobody will believe it. How about this one? The greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. 46. How about 53? Regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them when they're gone. 66-year-old, whenever I decide something with kindness, I usually have made the right decision. How about this one? You'll like this one. 82, even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. And a 92-year-old, I have learned that I have still a lot to learn. Words through our ages, how we affect life and how we approach life. Four things I want you to see this morning about us as children of God. If we're really in Christ and we're really in the Lord, we're going to speak and we're going to do it in a way that makes a difference. So the first one is right here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 10, John. It says this: truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to start, first of all, about speaking affectionately. Speaking affectionately. Jesus begins speaking to a crowd about his affection, about the affection of a shepherd for a sheep. And that's kind of the imagery he's going to carry through the whole sermon this morning, through the whole text we're looking at this morning. So what he's doing is taking the idea of a metaphor of a shepherd caring for a sheep. And by using that kind of imagery, here's what he's doing. He's instructing those who are following him and listening to him about the way to live life and how a big part of what we do and who we are is revealed by the words we use, how we speak. Now, what I want you to see here is the juxtaposition between a good shepherd and one who would steal away sheep, otherwise a bad shepherd. That's implied in the text. And while a thief has to do this, he has to crawl over the fence or crawl over the wall and try to steal the sheep or sneak past the shepherd to get to the sheep, the shepherd, though, works with a different motivation. How does a shepherd approach sheep? You're going, I don't have any idea. Well, think about it for a minute. How do they approach? How would you approach sheep if you were a shepherd? Beat them over the head until they get something right? Or do you approach them with affection and even love? In the Middle East, shepherds and their flocks are a little bit different, because here's the thing. They not only have sheep, but they have their entire being and their entire wealth wrapped up in those sheep, and it's part of their existence. So what he does, and they live with him day in, day out, morning, night, they sleep with him. He cares for them. He watches over them. He provides for their needs. And the reason he does this is because he has affection for them. This is in opposition to the one who would hate, or the one in the story who would steal. In this story, what Jesus is revealing is this: the loving work of the shepherd. His motivation is what? Love. His motivation is care. His motivation is concern. So as Jesus serves as shepherd to those who follow him, here's what he's giving us. He's giving us an example of how to live our lives, that we too serve as shepherds. In our case, under shepherds, but shepherds nonetheless. And so what he's doing, he's saying, I want you to emulate the love of a shepherd for the sheep. I want you to love your sheep, love those around you, love those you encounter with the same kind of love that a shepherd has for a sheep, and not remain silent, but speak affectionately. Speak with love and care. And that's my application. It's real straightforward. Speak with God's love, not your love, not my love, not the love you think you ought to have, but with God's love. We're going to talk this morning about four different aspects of speaking. So let me begin by saying this. Children of God, listen, we have something to say. Children of God have something to say, something valuable, something important. Because we've met the King of Kings, because we've met the Lord, we're now part of what? The kingdom of God. We're part of something greater. We're something, part of something bigger, something more important than anything else. And so because of that, we began to talk about it. One old preacher I had at seminary, he said it this way. He says, we speak out of the overflow of our lives. There's something happening in our lives. Have you ever noticed we talk about things that are important to us? Lately, my life has been consumed with some remodeling of a house, and so I find myself talking about that a lot. But outside of that, I have children. I love to talk about the kids. I have my little Abadoobie is what we call her, or what I call her. She's my baby. I love talking about her and the crazy things that she does, because she is a lot like her daddy. She does lots of crazy things. And you talk about the things that are important to you, right? We talk about the things in our lives. And I want you to understand we do that because it's overflowing from our lives. So as we begin to apply this text to the area of speaking, let's think about it this way. The shepherd speaks to his sheep with love. The indication for us is that as followers of God, we speak to those around us with love. Not our love, but God's love. And what that means is that we love people enough to say, I'm not going to hold back the truth from you. I'm not going to hold back sharing with you. And I'm not going to hold back sharing the love of God with you. And I got to tell you, that's a balancing act, because to be silent is really, in the face of obvious evil, and in the story is the theft of a sheep, we're being complicit. We're saying, I'm okay with that. We're not. Have we progressed as a society so far from biblical truth that we just say, well, we'd accept everything? No. It's kind of like a man who contracts cancer, and he says, well, I'm just going to accept that cancer. That's my new normal. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? I've not been through cancer, thankfully, but I've been through it with others as their pastor. And what normally happens in a normal person when it comes out with this, they do this. They weigh the options. They think about the outcome. They think about the treatments. They look at what they got to deal with. And then what they do there is lovingly, hello, work toward a resolution of the issue. They don't just accept it. They work with it. But it's done with love, not with pride, not with anger. And what Jesus reveals here is this, is he is going to lovingly reject this sin, in this particular case, a theft of sheep, because he loves the sheep. He wants to take care of them. And he says, I want you to speak the truth, but do it how? In love. Second, we speak affectionately, but look at verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep, look here, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his what? Voice. A stranger they won't follow, But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, here's what I want you to catch. Jesus not only says we need to speak affectionately, like a shepherd to the sheep, we also need to speak authoritatively as a shepherd to a sheep. Now, you're going, aren't those the opposite ends of the spectrum? And I would tell you, no. Sometimes you have to speak in a way to a sheep that says, this is what you need to understand. Notice the story continues to develop. The idea of shepherds, the idea of sheep, Jesus walking alongside of them as the good shepherd. And now, here's the thing. In the Middle East, you see this a lot more often than we do around here. We keep our sheep in fields, and they have fences around them, and they're safe, relatively speaking, from other animals. But in the Middle East, what they'll do is take a sheep, a flock of sheep, and they will walk them through the middle of a town and not lose one sheep. It's amazing to watch. But if you watch the shepherd in that process, what he's doing is fascinating. Through a series of calls with his voice, The words he will say, the whistles he will whistle, I can't whistle, so I can't do it. The whistles that he can make and the little indications that he does, those sheep go, that's where we go. They hear his voice because he's speaking to them lovingly, but he's also speaking to them authoritatively. They understand the direction of the master. They understand where he wants them to go and what they need to do so that they can be taken care of. You know, you think, well, I have a hard time relating to that. I've never been a sheep. I understand. You know, in our day and age, we have things that we get attuned to. Have you ever noticed? Any of you got a cell phone? No. I mean, even some of the oldest people in our church carry cell phones now. But have you ever had a phantom call? You know what a phantom call is? You got the phone in your pocket or in your purse, ladies. I don't carry a purse. But you've got it somewhere near you. And you go, I heard it ring. And you go pick it up. Some of you are laughing because you've been there. You pick it up and you go, nobody's called me in 2 hours. We have become so in tune to the vibration of those crazy things or the ringing of those things. Or somebody in the store's got your ring on their phone. You go, somebody wants to talk to me. And nobody wants to talk to you at that moment. That crazy thing has become authoritative in our life. You're going, not me. Oh, yeah, it has. We reach for the phone and it's not there. Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, the shepherd speaks authoritatively into the life of the sheep. Just as the shepherd speaks with authority, so a follower of Christ. Now, listen, this is kind of a new concept for some of us. We have an authority because of the king we serve to speak to others in love, but with the truth. I want you to catch this. So here's what I want you to notice. You have the authority, the ability to speak with God's authority. Not your own authority, but God's authority. You're going, oh, not me. I'm just this, and I'm just worthless, and I'm pitiful, and I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, I'm a this, I'm a that. Now hang on. And when you came into the kingdom of God, what happened? You were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You were lost, now you're saved. You are now filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We Baptists are afraid of Holy Spirit, so we use the word God instead. But he's the Holy Spirit living within us. And he gives us the ability to speak with authority in love. Start with love, but in authority. So follow with me. You remember the story of Peter, when Jesus looked at him and he said this to him. I'm going to read text, so just listen. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. Now, what had just happened was this. Peter had just identified that Jesus was Messiah. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you a new name, and I'm going to give you a new authority, and I'm going to give you a new responsibility. And now you're part of the kingdom of God. And that's what's just happened in that text. Now, some people say, oh, well, that's when Peter became the first pope. That's another conversation for another day. That's way bigger than I'm smart enough to figure out. What happened in the text is this. He says to him, you are going to lead in the church. Yes. But more than that, you're going to have the authority because of the gospel of Christ infilled in your life to speak into the lives of others. Now you're saying, well, who am I to do that? You are a child of the King. You're part of the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying here. Some of you kind of go, oh, I never thought about this like that, but I thought I was just no. This power is not for you. It's placed in you so that you can bless others, so you can help transform the lives of those around you, so you can make a difference. It's not about you. It's not about your fame. It's not about your goodness. See, many of us who follow Christ, we walk around and go, I got nothing to say. I don't have anything. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner. I'm pitiful. I'm worthless. Let me tell you something. If you are a child of God, you have an authority within you to speak to the people around you with love and with grace to change lives. You go, well, I can bring them to the pastor for that. No, you got it. Use it. Speak. The power of God is available to you if you're a child of God to speak. Now you go, well, I don't have any authority, I don't have any power, I don't have any presence, I don't have any Maybe you need to check your connection with God. That's another conversation for another day. But if you're in Him, listen, you've got that authority. Take it and use it. Maybe it comes down to this. Do you really believe that the power of God can change a life or not? Do you really believe that? I guess I'm just simple-minded enough to believe that the power of God is available to transform lives. But guess who gets to speak that to those around us? Oh, I'll bring them to church. How about bring them to Jesus? Then bring them to church. How about you be a part of the work? See, as a child of God, as you grow in your understanding, and what will happen is you become bolder in your faith. You're still in love. You look at people and say, listen, I want you to understand the gospel of Christ is available to transform your life. You know, something like 90% of Christians, professing Christians, never share their faith with anybody. Their whole lives. That's a disturbing statistic for me. We don't talk about it. We don't speak with love. We don't speak with authority. We don't speak at all. Listen, we need you speaking. The kingdom needs you to speak. The King needs you to speak. So we speak affectionately. We speak authoritatively. But we also notice this, verse 7 to 9. We speak attentively. Attentively. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly. This is the second time he said it in the text, if you didn't notice. Truly, truly, or verily, verily. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, I want you to understand that sheep are kind of dumb, okay? They're not the brightest animals in the world. And maybe that's why Jesus used them to talk about this, because often we aren't the brightest people, right? Guilty. I know I'm not. He comes in and says, truly, truly, this is important. I want you to catch this. He carries this imagery of the sheep and the threat from thieves and robbers. And what we see is Jesus make a promise for the sheep who will follow Jesus. He says, I'll be your door. I'll be the one. I'll be the one that brings you in. I'll be the one that connects you. I'll be the one that takes care of you. I'm going to be here for you, and I'm going to do what's best for you. Now, you and I struggle with this imagery of pastures. We live a little bit more rural here in Western Bowie County, but most of us live on a small lot with a little bit of grass that takes very little to take time to cut, thankfully. But the reality is the idea is more of a pastoral setting here. He speaks to them in a way that the sheep understand. Now follow with me. It seems to me what he's encouraging believers to do is to speak in a manner that is understandable to the ones who are to be reached. Hang in there with me. Instead of speaking a language you understand, cross instead the cultural divide and begin to speak their language. Huh? Hang in there with me. Now get the picture. A human shepherd, they're fascinating to watch. I was telling you about the ones in the Middle East. Man, just with these little noises and clicks and whistles, they can get 50 sheep to follow them through the city of Jerusalem. Fascinating. You're going, with all these people are where these crazy sheep are following that one guy. and all the noise and all the hubbub and all the stuff of a city. They're following him. Why? He's not only speaking in love, he's speaking authoritatively, but listen, he's also speaking a language they can understand. He's speaking sheep. Huh. That's got application here for us. Hang on. He speaks a language they can understand. Let's just be plain. Animals are dumb, but they need help. I got to tell you, we've got to learn how to in the kingdom of God, and we will as we begin to speak. You'll begin to speak understandably. There's my application. Speak understandably. Some of you know I've been to Mexico a few times. I figured out the other day, somebody said, how many times have you been down there? I go, I don't know. It's been about 10 years now. I've been going down to Mexico to work on mission projects and different activities. And I've had the privilege of preaching down there, thankfully through an interpreter. I didn't speak in tongues. Y'all be glad to know. It'd be good. But I will walk into a worship service in Mexico, especially if I'm just a participant, and I'll sit down, and I'll be there, and I listen, and I go, I think we're singing right now. The guitar player and the keyboard, the dead giveaway. I think we got music going on right now. And every once in a while I go, oh, Dios. Oh, they're singing about God. Jesucristo. Oh, they're talking about Jesus. Ah, I know him. Amor. Oh, they're talking about love. No, love. They're loving Jesus in the song. I got it. But let me tell you what, it doesn't speak much to me because I'm sitting there trying to figure out what the words are, all right? Much less the tune on top of it. So I just sit there and smile and nod and, you know, got that look going on because I'm enjoying it and I'm glad to be there and I sense the presence of God. But I got to tell you something, they're not speaking my language. You know why? I'm not in my country. I'm in their country. It's the way it works. They're singing songs. And then the preacher will get up and talk. Oh, man, that's even worse. Y'all know the feeling. And, hello. He'll get up and start talking. And those guys talk fast. You thought I talk fast. Woo! They get going. And I'm going, Jesus, I heard that. Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. I got it. Amen. Amen. Sorry, in Spanish. Okay. I got it. But I don't understand. Now you're going, why is he telling us that? I want you to understand. I figure out words occasionally. But you know, if they wanted to connect to me, you know what language they're going to have to speak? English. You know why? That's my heart language. That's the one I grew up with. That's the one I like speak all the time, okay? If they want to connect to me, but they're not wanting to connect to me. They're wanting to connect to their culture. Now, you're saying, why is he telling us that? You need to understand, in church, listen, we often speak a language that the world just doesn't understand. They don't get it. We speak churchese. You know, I've never heard of that one. Oh, well, you speak it fluently. Don't worry. We're good at it. We talk about stuff like this. You need to walk the aisle. Is there a plank at the end of that thing? They don't know what that means. We say stuff like, you need to make a decision. Well, I think I'll sit down. They don't understand what that means. We're laughing, but we do it, don't we? We speak in a language that people, then we'll sing songs. No offense, Fred. Stuff like this. Come thou fount of every blessing. Oh, that's a wonderful old hymn, isn't it? Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing. What's a fount? They don't even know what that is anymore. You know, is that like a fountain somewhere? I don't know what that is. In a very real sense, listen, if you're a follower of Christ, you have become, catch the tense, not will become, have become. You just don't know it yet. I'm here to tell you. You have become a missionary. You're going, oh, no, I'm not going to China. I'm not going to Africa. No way I'm going to Mexico. No way. No, listen, you already are a missionary. In fact, one old preacher, a guy named Charles Spurgeon, have you ever heard of him? If you ever heard him preach, you're a lot older than I thought you were. But anyway, he said this, Christians are either missionaries or they're imposters. You're either a missionary or you're an imposter. Listen, you go, well, I'm not going overseas. Oh, you live in a mission field right here. There's a mission field right here. There's a mission field at your work. There's a mission field at your school. There's a mission field wherever you are. You're going, well, why should somebody go tell them? Yeah, me too. Their name's you. That's your job. There are people you will encounter in life that I will never see as a pastor. And you're the one who gets to speak the language that they understand and speak to them. See, we are foreigners in a strange land. Therefore, we have to speak in such a way that the lost can understand. In fact, here's what you need to learn how to do. Speak lost. Without becoming lost or living like a lost, but learn to speak lost. a language that they can understand, to share the most important message on planet Earth, the power of Jesus. And learn to communicate with them on a level they can understand, and words that make sense, and phrases they can hear, and let them under, just like a sheep needs to be spoken to in sheep language, we got to learn to talk to the world so they can understand the gospel. And then Jesus can save them. One more thing I want you to see, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We're still in this imagery of shepherd in a safe place versus a thief trying to come in and take him. He's carrying this imagery all the way through. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says this, I have come that they might what? Have life. But not only life, but have it what? Abundantly. That's our word, by the way. Abundantly. He wants us to speak abundantly to them. Now, what does that mean? It's related to attentive in a sense, but really it's a little different. Speaking to bring abundance to life. Notice, if you haven't noticed, when we speak affectionately, we speak in a way that we focus on who? Them. What's the second one? I forgot. Authoritatively. We do it so we lift ourselves up, right? No. It's so that their lives can be changed. Then we speak, come on, attentively. Choir's helped me out this morning. I don't have my notes open. Attentively, okay? So we speak, and that's focused on who? On them. If you notice, all of these are not about us. We could almost just summarize the sermon. Here it is. It's not about you. But we're going to talk a little more than that. The fourth one is this. It's about speaking abundantly. And what do we mean by that? By giving a clear contrast between the thief and the good shepherd, here's what we find. The heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is for who? Hello? For the sheep. He says, I'm concerned about you. I want you to have a life. I want what's best for you. Why does a shepherd go around whistling and clicking and making noises to get his sheep through a crowd? Why? To protect them so that they can be as productive as a sheep can be, whatever that is, okay? I don't know what a productive sheep looks like, but they got a life, okay? And what he's telling, let this, his focus is on what's best for the sheep. Now let that sink in. He's concerned about who? Them. Oh, man, maybe that's the heart of the message right here. You know what the needs list for a sheep is? This is real quick, you ready? Because it ain't long. They need food, they need water, and they need safety from wild animals. What else does a sheep need? Okay? He says, I'm here for you. After that, there's not much. But notice, not only is the shepherd speaking affectionately, authoritative, and attentively, he says, I'm concerned about your welfare. I'm concerned about your life. Now, this presupposes that the shepherd knows best, right? The shepherd knows what's best for the sheep. You know what happens to sheep if you leave them by themselves? Remember, we've already established the thought that sheep are not that bright. Sheep will wander off. They'll go on the other side of the fence because the grass is always greener over there. They'll get themselves in trouble. They'll get themselves lost. They'll get themselves eaten. You know, that's why Jesus said he leaves the 99 and goes after the one sheep. Because it's a dumb sheep. Right? Sheep aren't smart. And instead of being smart enough to figure out, well, if we stay here, we'll have good food. And if we go here, we have good water. And if we stay here, we're safe. Sheep don't know that. So they need a shepherd to help them out. And so what Jesus does is he lays out a better way for the sheep. He says, follow me to abundance. Follow me to an abundant life. Or go get killed. Which one you want? No, some sheep are really dumb and they'll go, oh, we're going on our own. Okay, another conversation, another sermon, another day. Let's stay with the other sheep. What seems to be happening here is this. Jesus is saying there's one pathway that leads to life and one pathway that leads to death. So what do we speak? We speak life. Speak life. Speak life. That's his challenge and my challenge to you. Speak life. Let me ask you this question before we move any further. Do you believe that the power of the gospel of God can transform a life for the better? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the gospel of Christ changes lives for the better? See, if we don't agree on that one, man, we got trouble. Well, I don't. This Jesus stuff is great, but I just want to have a little church membership and I'm good. No, listen. Christ came and died on a cross so that you could have life and that more abundantly. So as a follower of God, here's what happens. It's not about me. My goal in Christ, hopefully all the time, but there are times I mess up, is to help bring the most abundant life I can to those around me. Can you imagine, listen, what life would be like if we were all doing that? Wow. By loving people, we say, I love you enough to speak the truth. I love you enough to speak with God's authority. I love you so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Because I believe if you really meet the Jesus of the Bible, the God of the Bible, and experience the gospel as it's presented in the New Testament, you will find what? An abundant life. A life worth having. A life worth living. That you won't go through 60, 70, 80 years, Lord willing, of days on the planet going, well, that was a waste. That was a waste. That was pitiful. That was useless. I hated that. This was terrible. Instead, we go, look at this. Look what God's doing here. Wow. How about, is that the kind of life you want? Or would you rather run around going, this is awful, terrible, everyone hates me, I think I'm going to eat dirt? We laugh. But you know, a lot of people in the church, around churches, that's how they live. I don't want to live like that. I want to see us be a people who speak life, that bring life, that are abundant in helping people find Christ. See, when you stop to consider what Jesus is saying in this verse, you're really stuck with a very stark contrast between two extremes. Either you're with God, headed to a life of abundance, or you're not. For those of you who have received the gospel of God into your life, you have an inclination that says this, I'm going to speak about the good things. You know why you're going to speak about the good things? Because he's doing what in your life? Good things. We talk about what's important to us. We talk about what's happening in our lives. We talk about those things that matter to us. So what's it look like? Instead of bringing death, you're bringing life. You speak the truth of the Word of God into the lives of people lovingly, compassionately, effectively, and with the best interest in mind. That may mean from time to time you confront sin. It may mean from time to time you encourage to remain faithful. And at other times you have to get outside your comfort zone and learn to speak lost. And that's okay. So what's keeping you from speaking the love of God? What's keeping you from doing it? Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you really encountered the God of the Bible? My challenge is meet him today. You can meet him today. Do you know that? You can walk out of this place with a relationship with God. And all you have to do, it's real simple. I talked to a little girl last week about it. Is this, God, I'm a sinner. And I need you. Would you come into my heart? Would you give me a new life? Would you save me so I can be your child? That's it. Well, that's the start. Yeah. That's where it begins. Here's the conclusion, and I'm done. In Christ, we speak the truth in love. Let's pray. Father God, we ask your hand upon this moment. Father, there are people in this place who are nice, good people, at least by the world standard, but they don't know you. Father, I pray for salvation to come to their hearts. I pray that they would see the need in their life for redemption. And that, Father, they would confess to you their sin and need. God, there's many in this room, though, who have that relationship. And we know that. We believe that. And God, I just pray that they would choose to go ahead and speak the truth in love, so that they can help others find the truth that they found. God, I also believe that in this place here today, there are some who need to make other types of decisions, some who need to make their decision for Christ public, some who need to connect with this church because they've not done that yet, but they follow you, but they just need to be connected locally. God, there may be others that have other kinds of decisions this morning. Our prayer is that you be glorified in this moment, that you be lifted up in us, and that you draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name.